Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You have a Super Bowl ring. You're in line. You got a shot to get another one. Where is it, and do you ever wear it?
I don't wear it. It's way too big and gaudy. Special occasions, I guess. But it's in a box in a safe in my house. And I pull it out to show people. But yeah, you don't bring it out much. But it's she's beautiful, and I hope to get another one.
Yeah, I think everyone in Chicago wants another one. That, of course, is the boys of the new Bears general manager, Ryan Poles. And we all know by now the story of George McCaskey going out to the airport to meet him and holding up a handwritten sign that said Canandaigua. And that, of course, is a place where he is from. And we are delighted to welcome in Mike Foster, the former head coach, football coach, New York legend, at Canandaigua Academy in New York. And Mike joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's everything in Chicago?
We are doing great. It's a little cold, but I mean, I'm sure you've got your own issues there. I think, isn't there, like, there's a snow bomb dropping or something? I didn't read all of it, but seems like the weather there is as bad as it is here, so it's just winter.
Well, we don't get nearly the snow. It's a little cold here today, but it's a beautiful morning, so all's good.
Well, we obviously wanted to talk to you because you are, you know, I mean, all of us remember our high school coach. You were the coach and the athletic director when Ryan Poles was in high school, and you know, obviously, a good enough player to go on to Boston College, and curiously enough, had a tryout with the Bears that did not work out for him, and then he began his career. Do you keep in touch with him? I'm sure you remember him fondly, and we just heard him getting the Super Bowl. That must have been a kick for you.
Yeah, and, you know, and all that is just it's kind of it's unbelievable, really, but. You know, I was talking to his dad the other night, and we shared some laughs, and quite honestly, we shared some tears. It's not often you get a chance to when your son and for me, a former player, becomes the in charge of one of the most storied franchises in NFL history. So it's pretty heady stuff, don't you think?
It is. It's a big job for a 36-year-old. It's a big job for anybody, Coach, and I appreciated talking the other day. And, you know, I have to ask you this. When you coached Ryan Poles in high school, and he was this offensive lineman that was obviously a standout and a pretty good basketball player from what I understand, but did you envision him one day being on an NFL roster or putting one together?
Well, the putting it together, you know, I mean, that's a long ways back, and who knows. But, I saw him playing, he was going to be an outstanding college player, and and if he hadn't ruptured his Achilles tendon, he may be playing in the NFL, and I think that. But I remember his his epic battle to get back and all the work that he did to get himself back from that injury was quite remarkable.
Coach, have you had a lot of players go on to the NFL? I'm sure you've had your I know you've had tons of success, incredible success, but what about seeing guys become pros? Are you more interested in kind of growing the man at that stage?
Well, I mean, that's what we want to do. Now, fortunately, over the years, we had some kids make it to the NFL, and we had at one time we had two kids on the Panthers. One got cut when they were moving it down to 53, and the other one lasted for 4 or 5 seasons, and then went on to play for the Colts. And then I had a young man who was a start at Georgia, and he played, but unfortunately he got an injury and he died at a premature age, from a blood clot. And over the years we've had some outstanding players that have done very, very well and made the old coach proud.
Well, Mike, I always kid that, if I could write a book and it would be everything I know about life I learned playing high school football. It's such a formative process in those years as you appreciate the older you get. But you look back from a football perspective, that's probably why I am obsessed with option football. We ran the wishbone in high school, and I love that kind of football. If Ryan Poles were to rely upon his high school experience to formulate the way that he sees the game, the way that he kind of his football philosophy, how would you describe it?
Well, Ryan would have to describe that, but all I know is he was a successful kid, great family. I went back to New York. I live in South Carolina now, just outside of Clemson. So I'm a Clemson fan now. But when both he and his sister got inducted into the Canandaigua Hall of Fame last fall. And so I went back and I was there for both of them. And his sister's an outstanding athlete in her own right. She played basketball, went to the University of Vermont, and just wonderful family.
What was your philosophy of football, Mike? How did you go about putting together, I guess it's a 179-36-3 record at Canandaigua Academy?
Well, it was all about building a program, And I recall Ryan did not grow up in Canandaigua. He grew up in a town 25-30 miles away, and I was speaking at a clinic at St. John Fisher College, where I later became the offensive coordinator. So I was talking some X's and O's, but I was talking more philosophy and developing a culture of a program. And Ryan's dad, Junior, was in the audience. I must have impressed him, but when the kids, and I speak of kids, Kelly and Ryan, now when they're getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, Dad went to the clinic. He came back to where they lived and says, "Hey kids, we're moving to Canandaigua." And so I must have said something. That impressed his dad. And so subsequently they moved. They were wildly successful. Canada was a small town in upstate New York, about 10,000 people. The high school is about 1,200, excuse me. And wow. But we turned out successful athletes, and we turned out, more importantly, successful citizens. So it must be when I was talking about culture and things like that, Junior, like all parents, wants the best for his children. When he came home and said, "We're moving to Canandaigua," and the rest is really kind of history. And they did well. Kelly went to Vermont and played basketball. Ryan went to Boston College, got very successful, and here we are.
So, Mike, obviously it's the NFL, and Ryan will be evaluated by how much the Bears win. But we will get to know him, and we'll get to see his personality reveal itself as once he's introduced and over the years. What is his personality like? How would you describe? I know he's much different now than he may have been when he was a 15-year-old, maybe coming into your program for the first time. But if somebody who doesn't know Ryan Poles wanted to know what he was like, what would you say?
I think you're going to find him to be a very accomplished young man. And he knows what he wants to do. He knows how to get there, and he's proven himself in virtually every place that he's been. And so, if they give him a chance in Chicago, he's going to bring home a winner for you. And I was out in Kansas City last week for the Bills Kansas City game, and Ryan took care of the old coach, and so we were we had tickets, but he got us down to the sidelines, and then I had a nice conversation with him afterwards, and he is so prepared for this, and I was very impressed with how his belief in himself. He knows where he wants to go. He knows how to get it done, and all he needs to do is have some support and he'll get the people on board to get it done.
Yeah, I think what's extraordinary, here we are in a country where when people are 18 years old, you could draft them into the Army if you wanted to. You could, they can begin a family, whatever it might be. But we're talking about a guy who's a novice because he's 36. He's been through a lot of time in Kansas City. But the Bears coaxed Jason Peters out of retirement last year. He's a 40-year-old left tackle, and now you hired a 36-year-old left tackle to run your whole program. It's just kind of extraordinary that he's reached this point at this age.
Well, he's obviously played his dues. They loved him in KC, obviously. Yep. And the fact that here's a kid that is, like you said, 36, and he's been a finalist for a GM job in Carolina, in New York, and with the Giants, if Chicago hadn't snapped him up, we'd probably been talking about him in the Vikings.
Talking with Mike Foster, who coached Ryan Poles at Canandaigua in New York, and Mike, you mentioned talking to Junior Poles, the father of Ryan, the other day, who also played left tackle at Boston College. Correct? This is a football family.
Yes.
So this was something that, again, he was probably either going to be in the National Football League as a player or because of injury, now he pivoted and became an executive, right?
Well, that's correct. And his dad played for the Seahawks. I can't recall how long he played for him, the Seahawks, but he was with the Seahawks. So and Junior is kind of that's kind of a misnomer. He's a huge man, and he's just got, he's a great guy. I enjoyed, and actually when they moved to Canandaigua, Junior came and worked on our staff, and he was a volunteer coach, and he was just, and the kids absolutely loved him, and but now he's a proud papa of the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Kind of heady stuff. I said it earlier, but I'll say it again.
You think you'll be coming to town for a game or two? I'm pretty sure. Don't you have a daughter who is nearby?
Yeah, I'm actually at my daughter's house right now. She's the director of athletics at a private school here in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh.
And so I came in to help with the kids. Her husband's out in California on business. And you think I'll be coming to Chicago?
Do you know a guy? You might know a guy, Coach.
I know
maybe
a guy.
Get some tickets, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, my oldest daughter lives just about an hour from there. She lives down in Kankakee.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah.
Great.
She's a chiropractor, I believe. Great stuff,
yeah.
Mike. Thank you, buddy. Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate the discussion.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, listen, go Bears.
Got
they
down.
Got a new fan. That's awesome. Okay. That is Mike
Thanks,
Foster.
Guys.
Thank you, buddy. Yep. That is Mike Foster. He is the former head coach of Canandaigua. He's been a big influence, let's say, in the life of Ryan Poles. So fun to talk to him. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls. We're going to talk it through. Listen, today could be the day. They could be announcing a head coach today. We'll see. If indeed that happens, should be a load of fun. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You're going to find him to be a very accomplished young man, and he knows what he wants to do. He knows how to get there, and he's proven himself in virtually every place that he's been. And so if they give him a chance in Chicago, he's going to bring home a winner for you. And because, you know, I mean, I was out in Kansas City last week for the Bills Kansas City game, and Ryan took care of the old coach, and we had tickets, but he got us down to the sidelines, and then I had a nice conversation with him afterwards, and he is so prepared for this, and I was very impressed with his belief in himself. He knows where he wants to go. He knows how to get it done. And all he needs to do is have some support, and he'll get the people on board to get it done.
Chicago, I'm excited to be here, ready to get to work. Bear down.
Bears.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was Mike Foster, high school coach of one Ryan Poles, the new general manager of the Chicago Bears. And interesting to get his take on it. Again, Ryan Poles is still a very young man. But interviewed for three different jobs and got the Bears job. So congratulations to him. Yep. Got to be a thrill for everyone connected to him.
Absolutely. Family and friends. And it's interesting, Mully, you know, we talk about he's 36 years old. He's a young man, a young professional taking over as GM. And so you look for cues. You talk to his high school coach. You talk to his friends. We know his best friend in college was Matt Ryan. His father, though, he was raised by a former defensive lineman. I think I said offensive lineman. He was Robert Poles, Junior Poles, was a defensive lineman at Boston College, tried out with the Seahawks, tried out with the Colts, was cut. But then what's interesting is that at the advice of his father-in-law, then he pivoted into law enforcement and spent 22 years in the Rochester Police Department. And that's interesting background to, you know, you grow up in a, if you're son of a police officer, you're son of a cop, the assumption is, boy, you talk about a guy who's going to have discipline, he's going to respect authority, and he's going to know how to work hard. And so these are things that you see in Ryan Poles, and you hear people talk about him. He has everything in terms of the makeup that you would be looking for in a general manager.
And you know, it's great that he's there. It's great that you got video of him showing up to work when the sun's still down. I mean, we've all been there, right? But now comes the difficult part, which is, you know, you've got to hire yourself a head coach. And yeah, presumably it's going to be among the final three candidates who he interviewed by himself. And presumably he's going to get his pick of the final three. This is all conjecture. We don't know. And it'll be interesting to see if that happens today or if there's any possibility that they extend it and bring in someone else or talk to anyone else. We don't know anything other than the fact that he's interviewed Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus yesterday, and he talked to Jim Caldwell on Tuesday, right? So
right,
we know that
Tuesday.
He is, yeah.
Tuesday
so
night.
He's, mm-hmm, yeah, he got hired, and then immediately did an interview with Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, Ryan Poles checks all the right boxes, as we have established. So did Ryan Pace, and what we're going to now wait for is him to check the big one: head coach. Who's it going to be?
Yep.
What's your criteria? What are the reasons that compel you to think that this is the right head coach? And then we begin an entirely different phase of evaluation. You know, what does the head coach's identity and past and experience, how does that inform what's going to happen next? And how does he, you know, collaborate, if you will? How does he mesh with the new general manager? Does he have to know him? Is this going to go on over the weekends? A lot of unanswered questions, but it is fun at least to get to know the guy who now is in charge. But as we know, you can fit the profile, you can sound like you have all the credentials and all the endorsements, you still got to do the job. And ideally, you're still going to get to the playoffs and not only get there, but win a game once you get there. That's the challenge ahead for Ryan Poles.
Yeah, so Ryan Poles hires the coach. Then the coach has to put the staff together. I mean, these are the things, you know, I think the minute the coach is hired, the first question is, how does it relate to Justin Fields, and what is your plan with Justin Fields, and how are you going to connect with or somehow get the best out of the quarterback? And, you know, if it's a defensive guy, two of these guys are defensive coordinators currently with that background, who's your offensive coordinator? How are you going to put together the group that works with the quarterback? And then if it's Jim Caldwell, you know, same question, but obviously a little different because he'll be working closely with him himself.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the domino effect, whatever happens in Jacksonville, whatever happens in New York, we saw what happened in Denver this morning, hiring Nathaniel Hackett, which that was a place where Dan Quinn was scheduled to be interviewing later this week, maybe tomorrow. Do you think that what happens at any other spot directly affects or impacts the decision that Ryan Poles will make?
I don't. I personally don't. I think they've gone through their list. There's a lot of guys. You know, this happens every hiring cycle. There are guys that sort of process around the league. So they go through their list, and he's going to pick one of these three guys, and then you're going to move forward. I would be really surprised if they expand this group. I think that, you know, it's interesting that the Denver job is gone if indeed Dan Quinn does not get this job. If he doesn't get this job, he's just lost two jobs in one fell swoop. So I understand why we would be monitoring it. But I think the only interest for me in Nathaniel Hackett winding up in Denver is, are they trying to coax Aaron Rodgers, right? Is that how you get it done? You go about bringing in his guys, and then hopefully he comes too.
Well, that's the idea. And if that's not the idea, I think you're kidding yourself to think that's not part of the thought process in Denver. And Molly, I think you're exactly right. And I would almost go the other way. You know how you play dominoes and the first one is the one that affects the others and how they fall. I think the Bears in this scenario now, the Bears are the first one. If you're talking about the Giants, you're talking about the Jags, and you're talking maybe even the Dolphins to a lesser degree, because I think they probably have, sounds like they've made their mind up and Brian Daboll is headed there. But whatever the Bears do is going to affect what they do in New York, and I think thus could affect what they do in Jacksonville as well, because of Eberflus's presence down there, because of Dan Quinn's, you know, involvement in New York. And I think the Bears, of those three jobs, you could make the argument it's the best one. And so if they hire somebody here, Dan Quinn, for instance, it's going to affect what happens at those other two places.
You know, I'm really fascinated by what's going on in Jacksonville, because it seemed like they had made their decision and they were just negotiating a contract, and then the negotiations fall apart. And you can't help but wonder, you know, given the amount of money at stake with what happened in Jacksonville and how much is owed, and was there a firing for cause or just a firing, and how will that work out between the team and the – just wonder if they're trying to shortchange him somehow or avoid giving him the same type of power that Urban Meyer had.
Boy, that leads you to believe that if the reports are accurate and things hit a snag, because I can't imagine, given the state of that franchise and given the fact that they have had the last year of dysfunction that they experienced because they hired Urban Meyer, you're at a point where you almost, if you get fixated on the right candidate, you can't let contract negotiations get in the way. You just can't. You have to be focused and know how to get the candidate. If you have arrived at the decision and it's a consensus that Byron Leftwich is the guy that's going to fix everything, okay, you got to go get him, and you have to make that happen. If you don't, boy, it becomes a situation. Do you really want to work there? Can you really win there? Is there always something that's going to get in the way?
Yeah, I you know, listen, these are legitimate thoughts. I mean, I don't know. I think that George understood what was at stake and how people would perceive things. And that opening news conference, which didn't go particularly well, to be brutally honest about it, he did acknowledge that there are a lot of people that are going to look at this and figure that we're not going to get it right. And I think there's a lot of that going on. I think that there's, you know, just people that I talk to and different opinions that have been expressed, there's not a ton of faith in the Bears being significantly different after, you know, hiring tapping back into Kansas City when Kansas City didn't work the last time, when Kansas City didn't work with Phil Emery. I mean, I just think that, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying
but
there's
right.
a lot of that from people I talk to. There's a certain amount of cynicism, which, you know, some of it is just general from NFL people, but, you know, there's you got to account for petty jealousy and all that kind of stuff, but there's no overriding belief that, man, the Bears are, look at them, they are really, they're coming up, they've won the lotto on this one. It just, there's not that feeling. And that doesn't mean they haven't, and it doesn't mean it won't work, and we still don't know who the coach is. There will be different options, but I'm just saying there's, you know, they're not about trying to win the public relations war. They lost that a long time ago, and they have misstepped quite often. I think this now they're trying to make it look like they're not influencing anything, but come on, who are we kidding?
Yeah, but see, I think they can't concede that now. I mean, the default mechanism with the Bears is to assume the worst because you're probably right. History tells you that. Our experiences frame that cynicism, and it's all appropriate and deserved. Okay. But if they hire us as football crisis consultants, Molly, I got to tell you, my advice to the Bears would be this. You got to try to change the narrative, and you have to try to ignore that noise. It exists, and it's going to stay there until you give people reason not to doubt you and not to assume the worst and to have something new to cling on to. It lasted for a little while. Matt Nagy was here, and that was a glorious 2018. And then things fell back into a familiar pattern. So if I'm the Bears and I have this Ryan Poles, new young executive, who we talked to his high school coach, you can talk to his friends, they're going to say the same thing. This is somebody with high emotional maturity, high intellect, all these things. Put them in front of a microphone. Put them in front of the cameras. Let him do that tomorrow. Tomorrow. I don't care if you don't have the head coach to sit next to him as a buffer. I don't care, and I don't want and wouldn't recommend George McCaskey or Ted Phillips to be anywhere right. near him, no. anywhere in the room.
I'm with you. Yeah. David, put him out there today. I mean, what time is it? You know, have him come on the show, for God's sake. We'll give him
we got
a nice,
another segment left.
Yeah,
let's do
we'll
that.
Give him a nice venue. And maybe we'll even steal, you know, the opening of Bernsey if we have to. Let's just get him on. I want to know a lot about him. I want to know a lot about how he looks at the game and how you believe in building a team and what are the key components to it. And I think it's always a good idea to sort of explain exactly, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. The more transparency, the more you understand what people are doing and the less harshly you criticize them. There is a feeling, whether true or not, that the Bears may win once every blank number of years, but it's almost happenstance. It's almost like happy accident. It's almost like they stumble. The idea of sustaining that victory is out the window because they haven't done it. And the reason they haven't done it is because they haven't had the quarterback. So I think that if you get a quarterback, a good quarterback, and you know that you're going to have him for 8 years, 10 years, whatever it might be, I mean, maybe I should say 20. The fact of the matter is that you can watch, you know, if you have a good quarterback, you're basically starting the season at 8-8. And what are you going to do to make sure you get in the playoffs? And I know it's now 8-9 or whatever. 8-9,
yeah. You can't go 500.
Sorry. Right. No. 9-8, David. I'll go 9-8.
There you go.
But I'm saying that is such an important part of being able to sustain any kind of success. So let's see who they hire as the coach. Let's see how he's going to connect to the quarterback. And let's see how they're going to put themselves in a position where they have Joe Burrow, where they have Herbert, or whomever you want to name, you know, eventually Aaron Rodgers, right?
Well, eventually. And
that's
and
the
I
dream.
Think it's not only it's not only a good idea for Ryan Pace. Jeez. It's not only a good idea for Ryan Poles to articulate that and his vision. It's a necessity at this point. You've got to have something to cling to. You have to have something. Give Bears fans, give the city something to believe in when it comes to the football team in town, because right now all that exists is skepticism, and boy, how are they going to screw this up now? Talk about sustaining success. Talk about a decade of dominance, or if that's too strong, just say you're going to be consistently in the playoff mix. Throw your belief behind your quarterback and say, once you've got that question answered, and we believe that we do in Justin Fields, the rest will come naturally because that's the way it works in the NFL. And if you don't believe it, look at the playoffs.
Playoffs are still ongoing, and there's going to be some championship games this weekend. We'll bring in Nick Kostos and find out who's going to win. We'll do that next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I want winners.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Nick Kostos, and you should know that he is the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. You can hear Nick make all his great picks. Insider calls brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook. Check out the daily specials. See what unique bets are waiting for you at BetRivers.com. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast. For more of Nick Kostos, just search You Bet wherever you find your podcast. And Nick joins us now on the guest hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hi, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How we doing? As we stand on the precipice of Championship Sunday. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, I am really looking forward to this one because I think there's a lot of neat possibilities and kind of weird things going on with these teams. I'm pumped up. What do you got?
When you said weird things going on, I thought you were talking about the Bears and Giants head coaching searches. I think that would also qualify.
Yeah, they're weird.
Well, that is
a lot
very
of weird,
weird
there.
But yeah, there's a lot of weird.
If we end up with Dan Quinn and you guys end up with Jim Caldwell, I think that maybe like we should all just go on strike potentially as fans coming up for next year.
Okay, Nick. you opened the door there before you get to the games. What's the likelihood of that happening? Do you think that, are you hearing something? You know something? Come on,
well,
share.
One of the local reporters here, Pat Leonard for the New York Daily News, reported yesterday that Brian Daboll is, who knows if this is, like, I think Pat's really good, but I mean, like, he could be wrong. You know, who the hell knows, right? That Brian Daboll's the front runner to be the Dolphins head coach. And if that happens, like, I think it's Flores or Dan Quinn for the Giants job. I don't really like either candidate, honestly. The thing with Flores, even if he goes to Chicago, he was a disaster with his offensive coordinator hires. Like, who's the coordinator to work with Fields in Chicago or Daniel Jones, whoever the next quarterback is with New York? Dan Quinn is way too conservative for my liking as an in-game coach. Like, he loves to kick. He loves to kick field goals, loves to punt. I'm not into that at all, so I'm not into really any of these guys. I think maybe for the Bears, out of those guys, I guess Eberflus would be the guy I would want the most, just because there's unknown. Like, maybe he's great. Like, I think we know that the other guys, like, and Caldwell's had success in the past. I don't mean to poo-poo him, just that, I mean, he was not someone that would excite me if I were the fan of that team. That's me, though. As far as the game on Sunday, I guess we can start I'm just being honest, right? I guess we can start chronologically here. Chiefs-Bengals. So the Chiefs are a touchdown favorite. Total here is 54.5. I think I said this maybe not with you guys last week, but we said it on You Better You Bet, both on the Thursday show and then the weekend shows that we did on Saturday and Sunday. And I'll urge people, you know, check out You Better You Bet coming up today, where we will do our projected point spreads for the Super Bowl. So try and give you like a leg up on betting, right, when the opening market comes out. And we said last Thursday that if it's Chiefs-Bengals and the Chiefs open less than a touchdown in the game, we're going to bet Kansas City. That number will not last. And lo and behold, the number opened 6.5 and lasted for all of about 5 minutes, got bet up to 7 immediately. I was lucky to grab some of the 6.5, so I don't think that 6.5 is ever coming back. I think if anything, this number is going to continue to go up. I would never bet Cincinnati in this game. That's not me hating on the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow's awesome, but I think we also have to acknowledge that while Burrow's awesome and while we're also quick to shower him with praise and he deserves it, but basically being like, well, it's Burrow magic that led them to win the first two games, I think it was pretty idiotic coaching by the Raiders in the wild card game. Ran for 6.4 yards per carry and like barely ran the ball the entire game. Some horrendous officiating by Jerome Boger in that game. Oh, the Bengals outgained in that game on a yards per play basis. And then last week, the Titans basically vomited all over themselves for 3+ hours in the Music City. Sacked Joe Burrow 9 times in the game and still managed to lose. Like an impressive achievement, right? And the Titans also outgained the Bengals on a yards per play basis. So it's not to discredit Burrow. He's great. I'd love to have him as my quarterback moving forward, right? For my favorite team. But it's a bit of a different animal going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I know people will point to week 17. Bengals won against Kansas City 34-31. I look at that as kind of an outlier performance. Not that the Bengals can or won't win this game, but if you're Kansas City, I think the only way the Bengals can win this game is in a shootout. I don't think Kansas City needs to win this game in a shootout. I think the Chiefs can run the ball on Cincy without Larry Ogunjobi in their defensive line, can keep Burrow off the field. I certainly think the Chiefs' pass rush, maybe not to the tune of 9 sacks like last week, but I think that they can get a Joe Burrow here and kind of boa constrictor this game. I like the Chiefs here at 7. I bet them at 6.5. Lean towards the under as well if I had to bet the total, which I have not yet. My take there on Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Good stuff. What about the other game? I mean, I find this one the weird one, this fascinating one, just because I can't believe San Francisco's in it. I can't believe that they've been dominating the Rams, and the idea that maybe they got a little something-something over from coach to coach.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, the last point that you made. And I do think, like, Shanahan and McVay are pretty similar. I think both guys have, like, their in-game gaffes and foibles here. But, I mean, like, the second half that McVay put out there last week is one of the worst coach halves, I think, in, like, the history of football. Like, actively trying to lose the game. And I think the problem with McVay is that, like, the cheeks clench a little bit in the big spot. Like, he gets tight and nervous in the big moments. Like, you see him on the sideline. You can see it on his face. You know, whether it's the Super Bowl against Belichick and the Patriots, where he basically said after the game, yeah, like, I got pantsed by Belichick for 60 minutes. He didn't say it like that, but that's basically what he said. And then every time he goes up against Shanahan, he shrivels in the big spot. Shriveled in the big spot last week against Brady in the second half. So I give the coaching edge here to the San Francisco 49ers for sure. I think the number is definitely in line with San Francisco. And I think, guys, when I came on with you last week, I told you I bet the Niners +6. The game ended up closing 5. The bet that I made when I bet on the Niners at that price was that Nick Bosa was going to play. The sense I got from talking people in the league was that Bosa was going to clear protocol, which he did on Friday. He ends up playing in the game and terrorized Aaron Rodgers last week. So Trent Williams is the guy this week that's basically in the Nick Bosa role, right? Like, you need Trent Williams to play in this game. You know, Hall of Fame left tackle, maybe the best left tackle in football, to feel great about the 49ers bet, because everyone else is going to play. Debo's playing, Jimmy's playing, Elijah Mitchell's playing, Ambry Thomas is playing. Like, it's actually a really good injury report other than Trent Williams for the Niners. Now, Kyle Shanahan giving some optimism for Trent Williams yesterday after practice, saying, you know, he's not going to practice this week with the sprained ankle. That's fine. We don't need him to practice. We need him to play. And Shanahan saying, Trent expects to play. I expect Trent Williams to play. Now, it's not a guarantee. My guess is that he's going to be out there. This is the opportunity for him to put, like, the exclamation point on a gold jacket in a Hall of Fame career. I think 3.5 is valuable. I don't think it's going to last until Sunday. So if you like the 49ers, I would look to bet this game sooner rather than later to capture this 3.5. If you like the Rams, I think you can wait. And I think there's a case to be made for the Rams. I don't think it's a lock that San Francisco's going to win, although I do think they are. But if you like the Rams, I would suggest waiting a little bit here. You'll get a 3. You may even get a 2.5 if all the injury news goes the way of the San Francisco 49ers here. One other thing to consider. The Rams linebacking core and the Rams safeties are horrendous at defending passes over the middle of the field. This is how the Niners have made their bread and butter, right? How they've gotten it done against the Rams in the past. This is basically the 49ers offense, right? We don't want to see Jimmy Garoppolo throwing like these Henry Rowan Gardner like rainbows to the sideline like you did last Saturday night in Lambeau Field. We want the short passes over the middle to Kittle, to Debo, and Ayuk, and let them run with the football. That's what Shanny's going to do here. I don't think there's any doubt about it. So I like the Niners +3. And a half. No play for me on the total of 46. It's the same total basically it was when they played in week 18. That game landed 51 with the Niners comeback after being down 17-0. Maybe a slight lean for me towards the over, but not going to play it. But I am on San Francisco guys +3.5.
All right, Nick, so you're back Sunday 9-11 BetQL playoff special. Anything special planned?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to give out, yeah, tons of great stuff. We're going to have great guests, which is going to be awesome. We will have a huge Prop King segment. We'll play a game of whatever you prefer, which is basically like one of these stupid sports radio constructs where it's like we play a fun jingle and then we basically talk about props. Like, that's basically it. But it is going to be a really entertaining and informative segment. So we are going to try to provide you, the listener, I just gave you picks on side and total. We're going to provide you with a roadmap on how to bet props, you know, with sports betting being really in vogue. I get texts from friends in New York where I live, and they send me like the most ridiculous prop slips of bets that they make, like George Kittle first touchdown parlayed with like Mason Crosby over field goals. And I'm like, guy, like, can we do better than this? So I am going to do all the work over the course of the next couple days, so you, the listener, don't have to. So you tune into the show on Sunday, and I'm going to give you all the great prop picks. They were great last weekend. Hopefully they continue to be really good. So again, we will do the work over the next couple days, so you do not have to. Sunday on the score, You Better You Bets countdown to kickoff. Myself and Ken Barkley.
Thanks a ton. We really appreciate it, Nick.
Appreciate it, guys. Wishing Thanks, you Nick. Guys and all your great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck, and hopefully the Bears and the Giants get this right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.